This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Hello, everybody. It's 1213 on the Pulse WTPL. I'm Mike Moore and co-host, normally with Carol Lawrence, owner of the Red Arrow Diners, three of them, plus Jay's Tavern in Milford. But she is away on a little five-day holiday weekend, extended by one day, thanks to Memorial Day on Monday. So she is away, and I have a guest host who I'll be introducing very briefly. But first, I want to let you know that the show is brought to you by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. And KC's Rib Shack, famous Hickory Smoked award-winning Southern Pit Barbecue on 2nd Street in Manchester. And honestly, if I'm having company from out of town and we want barbecue, the real deal, I'm going to KC's Rib Shack. After the way the guy researched Kevin Cornish and his partners researched it and went down south and lived it for a while and brought back the best of, you know it's good. So there it is, Food for Thought sponsors. Our phone number, anytime you want to call for any reason. I know we don't always solicit calls, but you're always welcome at 866-823-1077. So in my 7 weeks of being on Food for Thought with Carol here on The Pulse, we've had lots of guests, and as they have come through and been on the air, I've kind of in the back of my mind thought of who a couple of my favorites were. And yesterday you heard Carrie Lehman from a number of restaurants in Tidewater Catering, who did a spectacular job. And my second co-host filling in for Carol today is a gentleman who was on just a couple of weeks ago. He's director of operations at Amherst Country Club and Ponema Green Family Golf Center. And honestly, at probably one of the busiest times of the year, he should be working, but today he's slacking and hanging with me. Chad Zingales, longtime friend, or at least associate. I guess we don't hang out and do stuff together.
It's okay. I would hang out with you.
You would, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I appreciate that raving introduction. People at home can't see this, but there's a fog machine set up in here, and I'm coming through the fog. Next time, I want the final countdown playing in the background.
This is what you do so well, is you paint a picture. That's what radio is all about.
That's right.
I was listening to an interview with Al Michaels today as I was driving in, and he was discussing the difference between broadcasting a game on TV, which he does mostly now, or doing it on radio. And when you're on television and you're talking about the action, you're kind of an adjunct to the action. You're sort of there to just kind of reinforce what the people are seeing. When it's radio, you're completely painting the picture, and it's on you to make sure the information gets on there based on adjectives and adverbs and your knowledge of the game. And you just kind of did a little bit of that by, I'm picturing you with sunglasses on, at the Verizon Wireless Arena, almost running out with the Manchester Monarchs where they're introduced with the smoke and the pyrotechnics,
yes,
and everything.
Yes.
Chad Zingales, everybody!
I oftentimes forget that I'm on radio and there's nobody here filming me, so it's a terrible waste of hair gel, since nobody can see me right now.
That's true, and it also messes up the headphones for the next guy.
That's right. Well, I appreciate it, Mike, and I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to ride this wagon for a little while. So.
Well, I'm sure you'll be invited back again, as long as you don't cause us to lose the license today. And
right.
I trust that you will not do anything quite like that, because
nope.
You do have a job that you also have to secure.
That's
when,
right.
When you leave
yes.
here today.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if I told you, you're not getting paid for this.
No, you actually were quite blunt about that in the letter. You said, we're not paying you anything. Fair enough.
But it's fun, because in addition to running two wonderful businesses, you do have an interest in performing and comedy, and you which I didn't realize had been actually executed to the point where you've done a little bit of stand up kind of to test the waters. And are you hooked? Is it like crack?
I wouldn't say it's that strong. It's it's not. I'm not at the gateway drug yet, but I'm having fun with
well,
it.
Well, radio's the gateway drug.
Is that
so
what it
you
is?
You are here.
Maybe
yeah.
that. I'm having fun with the stand-up comedy, and it's certainly. We were just talking off the air how important it is to write on a daily basis, and that's one thing that it does drive me to do. In my comedy routines, I try to do everything that's based on actual events. So whether it's with my kids or my family or
right, yeah,
my
the road rage incident was one of my favorites.
Yeah,
because it really did happen to you.
It did happen.
Now, for those that may have missed it, why don't you just go ahead and just give us a little bit of that as it happened?
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of road rage, and
aren't we all?
Yeah, exactly. I like being the victim of road rage, and I think what it is it's that one instance, that one opportunity to basically speak your mind. Have a reply of some sort. to somebody who's upset about something. And this one particular incident when I was on the roadways, I did something, you know, I was at fault. I had done something that really upset this one particular gentleman, and he made sure that he wanted to come kind of track me down and talk to me about it. So I pulled into a parking spot, and he followed me into that parking lot.
Had he been following you very far?
Not very far, okay. No. It was probably only, you know, maybe a quarter of a mile. And wow. He parked right next to me, and
oh boy.
I could see this guy was upset. I mean, his arms were flailing up in the air, and his face was real red. And as he got out of his car, he kind of kicked the car door open and came marching over to my driver's side window. And I could see he was really upset. Mm-hmm. And it was getting my adrenaline going at the same time. You know how that happens.
Oh, yeah.
And so I let him finish, and I rolled down my window. And you know, he was all red-faced and red-eyed. And this was my one chance. You know, this was my one chance to kind of reply. And so I let him finish up to the last word, and then I hit him with this. And I will always love you. A little more reverb would be great in this mic, actually. Can I get more reverb in this mic?
Unfortunately, no.
Can J-God take care of that? Or
I don't know if he can or not. Maybe with a little more notice next time.
All right, fair enough.
I can't imagine you had much reverb at the time.
No, I didn't. I sounded great, though, and the guy's expression was pretty much priceless.
Well, see, that's, you know, you picked the right guy to do this to, because if you'd have picked the guy who was packing heat,
right,
you know, you wouldn't be co-hosting today.
It's very...
What a tragedy that would
that's
be.
That's right. I should probably reach out to that guy. Maybe he's listening. I could just say thank you. Thank you.
So he shook his head and walked away?
Basically,
you say,
shook his head. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even done with the entire verse, and he was pretty much done
with
me. It
wasn't Kevin Costner, was it?
I was hoping he would just kind of carry me into Hannaford. Yeah. Yeah, but I haven't seen him since, thankfully, but it was good material.
It is great material, and you know, when you do comedy or any kind of performing, you need to not waste opportunities like that and exploit it, essentially.
That's right. You know, and of course, it's at his expense a little bit, but I do find that we now have a story. He has a story, potentially, that he's going to be telling maybe at the
Do you think he's told people?
I hope he was sitting at the Thanksgiving table this year. You know, he brought this up, this lunatic that ended up singing Whitney Houston, you know, to kind of calm the mood down a little bit.
Now, were you smiling or laughing? Your face, definitely.
I got to hit the notes.
Yeah, that's
true. You know, it's
true.
All about the notes.
You've got a pretty impressive falsetto.
I appreciate that, Mike. You know, yeah. I've been trying to tell this to my wife and kids at home, but they don't appreciate it like they should, quite frankly.
I'm not sure what you can do with it. You know, as a middle-aged white guy, quite honest.
Right.
But there's a lot of shows. The Voice.
The Voice. That's true. You know, and maybe a Whitney Houston cover band.
You know? I'm all white guys. Can you imagine that?
Wait, listen, I don't want you to run with that idea. That's my idea.
All right. Okay. Note to self. Column on Whitney Houston cover bands with white guys doing Porter Wagoner songs. That's how I get ideas for my column, the National Telegraph. I steal them from people like you. So Chad Zingales is our co-host, and we're just kind of having some fun here early on. Friday is Comedy Cold Cuts Day. We'll let Chad be a part of that. It begins in a few moments. Earlier in the week, it was Devil's Food Chocolate Cake Day, you know, because there's a food holiday every day of the year, sometimes multiples. So I like to every week or month pick one and then go online and see what comedy I can find that kind of supports that, and we found four really good comedy pieces having to do with cake today.
Cake.
Now, there's some topics that you just can't find any comedy about, some food topics. I was Cinco de Mayo. I thought, well, there must be some great Cinco de Mayo comedy routines. Unfortunately, there's a comedy group called Cinco de Mayo, and so that's all that comes up on YouTube, and they do nothing having to do with, you know, the holiday. So that wasn't helpful at all.
Yep.
So it takes a little while to find them, so we'll share those in a little bit. And I have to admit that, you know, I hope you weren't planning to like, take me out to lunch or drinking or anything after the show, because my dog has a grooming at 3:30, and you know, my dog is very important.
Wow. You're getting your dog groomed today.
Yeah, about every 6 weeks or so. Do you have a dog?
I do, and ironically, I actually was bringing my dog to get groomed this morning.
Seriously?
Believe that. Yeah, we had a little incident in my truck, if you could believe this.
Oh, no.
He's a small dog. He's a schnauzer. He's probably about 30 pounds.
I love schnauzers.
Oh, he's a great dog.
Yeah.
He's not all that bright, but he's a great dog. You know, he doesn't ride much in my truck, but he seemed to be enjoying the fact that I had the windows open, you know, cruising at a steady 38, 39 miles an hour.
Right.
And he's got the wind blowing in his ears, and he's kind of on the edge of the window, which I was okay. I had him. He was in my lap.
Okay.
All of a sudden, out of the clear blue, this dog, his name is Moses.
Oh.
Moses decides that he's going to depart the vehicle while it's moving at this speed. And I swear, Mike, everything was in slow motion. It was I knew that he was going, and I'm trying to hold on to the wheel, and
right.
I'm still – and there's somebody behind me. And
probably the guy that followed you from the Whitney Houston incident.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna get this bastard again.
Yeah, exactly. Little does he know I'm about to throw a live dog out my window.
Oh, no.
But the dog, Moses, decides that he's going to leap out of my lap. So he gets – and it's slow motion. I could see every part of this dog just slowly departing from the interior of my truck to the exterior.
Oh.
And finally, he's got three limbs out, and I got, you know, one left that I can grab. And I grabbed his hind leg as – the majority of the dog was outside my driver's side window.
Oh, no.
And the poor dog, I can hear the dog. I mean, I'm holding on to him. I'm trying to steer the truck. And I can hear my dog hitting the side of my car door, you know. And I look at my rear view, and I can see the guy behind me. It's just like, you know, he has no idea what's going on. They just saw a dog. So I pull him back inside. I mean, I felt like I was in Stallone's Cliffhanger movie. I mean, it's just like that saving moment.
Right.
But I pull the dog back in, and of course, my adrenaline's pumping. And I'm just like, I'm flabbergasted. I'm like, my God, I almost lost the dog. I mean,
yeah, he wouldn't have had much of a chance.
Yeah, I mean,
was this on 101 or
this was on a back road going to 101.
Okay.
And
yeah.
You know, his ungroomed face was just probably a foot away from the moving pavement. And but I pulled him back in, and him and I just kind of looked at each other, and we were both bonding at that moment, I guess,
boy,
in the terror.
I guess.
I put the windows up and turned the AC on, and it was a quiet rest of the ride.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, had somebody followed you with a road rage type of thing, you could have rolled the windows down and, who let the dogs out?
That's good. Hey, yeah, that's good.
Well, there's your next.
That's the next. You know what's interesting too, Mike, is I don't know where you're getting your dog groomed, but they have these things now for dogs. You can get stencils. Have you seen this?
Oh, you mean like tattoo type
things?
Yes,
you can get feathers and stencils.
Oh, extensions and things.
And after he did that, and this is true, my wife will be picking up the dog, so she doesn't know I did this, but I paid a little extra money.
Right.
And I got the skull and crossbones.
Oh,
and
no.
And I told the woman who's there at the desk, I said, I want this on his neck. I want it right on his neck because he just
kind of a Breaking Bad moment.
That's
huh?
right. He faced life or death situation, and there he is.
Wow, orange is the new schnauzer, ladies and gentlemen. Good God!
I want you to keep these things in mind when you're taking your dog.
See, I'm one of these people. I don't like to adorn my dog with, unlike my partner Kara, who's got a 4-pound Morkie, and I think that's what it is. And the dog doesn't like to be dressed up, but she'll put stuff on him from time to time, or her. On the other hand, other than a harness to walk him, her, that's it. Nothing. I will not be doing any body art. You know, although after what your dog pulled today, you know, frankly, I don't blame you.
I mean, he deserved it. It's like his stripes, right? I mean, he, you know, I anticipate my phone will be ringing at about 1 o'clock when my wife picks
up
to let him know, let me know that the tattoo.
Can we put her on the air and let her yell at you?
Absolutely.
Does she yell at you, or does she wear the pants? And
no, my wife is a very kind individual.
I see.
I will get the old, what I get typically when I come in and I've done something is, Chad. Just like that, you know. I anticipate that.
She's
today.
Never tried to jump out the window when you've been driving
the
along.
The dog didn't have a bad idea, quite frankly. I've got to be honest.
Well, I'm glad that Moses is okay because how old is Moses?
Moses is 2 years old.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dog is 3, and they do tend to do sometimes things that – now, of course, there will be people that will probably look unfavorably upon the fact that you are driving with a dog in your lap and a window open.
Right.
So
that was my bad.
So lesson learned, I would guess.
Lesson learned, and for those people who are out there, I've learned my lesson, and I apologize, and I'm going to apologize to Moses when he gets home today. And
so how do they put body art on a on fur?
It's like a chalk, I think. I think it's like a chalk. It doesn't last very long.
Right.
She actually told me that it depends on how much the dog rolls or scratches.
Mm-hmm.
But usually they last a couple hours. So, and it wasn't very expensive. It was a couple bucks extra.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Nothing but the best for Moses.
I tell you, Moses deserves it. He's had a long day, that poor dog.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he's okay.
Me
I haven't
too.
Had any close calls with my dog, but I'm so protective. I just take no chances.
That's right. You know, it's unconditional love. They need us.
They do indeed.
You know? So, Moses, if you're listening, I'm sorry, buddy. When I get home, we'll snuggle.
Oh, there you go. Now, does Moses sleep with you and your wife?
He doesn't. No, he sleeps downstairs.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, you know, dogs would prefer to sleep with their owners if they could, and maybe if there's anything I shouldn't be doing, that is, that happens at my house.
We do a fair amount of sleeping or falling asleep on the couch, you know, while the TV's on. So
we get our
sleeping time in then.
Does Moses bark at dogs on TV?
Yes, actually, yeah, he does. Does your dog do that?
Oh, God. And now it's extended to camels, emus, even the Geico gecko, my dog barks.
Wow.
At. Yeah.
That's quite something.
She's protective. 16 pounds of pure, unadulterated bodyguard.
No way that animal's getting into that house through that screen.
That's right. My co-host today on Food for Thought, although it's been kind of, you know, food for everything but food today. But I promise we'll steer it back into the direction. Food for Thought is on the air, and Chad Zingale is from Amherst Country Club and Panema Green Family Golf Center is joining us. And we're going to take a break. And then if J-Dog is ready, we're going to line up all the comedy cuts for Comedy Cold Cut Friday. Next, it's Cake as the theme. WTPL The Pulse. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome to Fenway Park. No, that's the wrong script. Oh, crap. This is Food for Thought. Carol Lawrence, my co-host, is away for a few days, so it's just me and my pals that I've invited in to be co-hosts on the days that Carol is away. And today, Chad Zingale is from Amherst Country Club, Director of Operations there, and Panema Green Family Golf Center. What is the busiest time of the year for those facilities?
We're actually fully operational and up and running right now. So this is a busy time. And obviously, once school gets out, we're fully stocked with the camps and clinics. And then the fall is becoming increasingly popular.
Yeah.
A lot of outings and charitable events in the fall.
You must be very confident in the staff you have because you're away on what, I mean, it's a beautiful sunny day. People are sneaking out of work, coming to play a quick 9 or 18.
Yeah, I'm as soon as this show concludes, I will be driving back safely to that operation and probably be there for most of the afternoon, evening.
Yeah. What is your day? Is it do you come in later? Or are you there in the morning when it opens up for the early tea times?
Once I get my kiddos on the bus, I usually go in, you know, 9 o'clock, and then I'm there until anywhere from 7 to 10 p.m. depending on the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a weekend type of business, so do you take a couple weekdays off?
Or? Yeah, I try to, and I'll, you know. We have an excellent staff. My staff is top notch. I've got a lot of people that I can kind of lean on and count on. So I've been fortunate because it allows me to leave the property and I can go do some marketing and, you know, do things like this.
So I guess this qualifies as marketing
to
some degree.
And all this is a write-off.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Writing off from no pay from us. But, you know, that's one thing I find that a lot of restaurateurs have in common, because we have lots of them in as guests, and that is they try to build a staff that they really trust and believe in. Like, you know, Carol has people that have been with her forever. They bought the business in 87, and I think they actually have some people that have been with them all that time. And I'm trying to think a few other businesses I know that really have long-term loyalty with their staff. And if you've got that, you can walk away once in a while.
That's right. You got people who can take care of and man the fort when you're not there. And I have a great assistant, Chris Weinhold, and we have some great staff members. Marisa is there now. She just graduated from college. And Diane Norton is there helping out. So those people are the people that are kind of the cornerstone and foundation of the business, which is a huge help.
And how long have you been there?
I've been there 8 years.
8 years.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
All right, Chad Zingale is our co-host. All right, the reason I thought of you as my co-host today, because knowing your affinity for comedy and you're kind of sticking your toe in the water of doing some stand-up comedy, we have Comedy Cold Cuts. Started this several months ago, and it's working out well. We pick a theme. Earlier this week, it was Chocolate Devil's Food Cake Day, and I said, I wonder if there's many comedians that talk about cake. Well, of course, there are. And our very first chocolate cake, or cake in general, and it's not all about chocolate cake, is a Latin performer named Gabriel Iglesias, who I've seen him on TV a million times, and maybe you'll recognize him. I want to say he was on that show where they were looking for, they took comedians that nobody heard of, and then I forget what the show was called. It's still on from time to time. Anyway, I think he was on that show. Anyway, this is his routine called Chocolate Cake Made Me Late. Gabriel Iglesias on The Pulse.
One night, I got 11 cakes, 11, and I took them home because I was local. And that's a fight no one has ever had at 3 o'clock in the morning. No one. Because you don't just walk into the house with 11 cakes. You make some noise, you know, freaking. And I walk in with the last two cakes and my girlfriend's in the kitchen. What the hell is this? I'm trying to be cute. It's a bakery. Where did you get this cake? The people at the show brought it, baby. Are you gonna eat all of it? Well, eventually. I'm not gonna do it in one hit, you know, freaking 2 days later. Clear. How do you know someone isn't trying to poison you? I'm like, with cake? Are you serious? What is it like? You live by the cake, you die by the cake, you know? No. So we're going back and forth arguing at 3 o'clock in the morning. We wake up our kid. And here he comes into the kitchen. What's going on? You guys are making. Where did the cake come from? The people at the show brought it. Tell them I said thank you. I tell them you said thank you. How come they give you cake? Because 10 years ago, I did a joke where I said I love chocolate cake, and now people give me cake. You should say you love Transformers. I'll start doing it. So we're going back and forth. My girl's like, put him to bed. I go, you got to go to sleep, Frankie. And he's like, you want some cake? Yeah. So I grabbed one of the 11 cakes that someone brought. It was like a little one, little Walmart one with the plastic cover and the sticker and the seal. So I knew it was cool. So it was a little cake and I handed it to him. I go, here. He goes, a piece? I go, no, dude, it's a little cake. You could have the whole thing. And the look that came over his face was like he got a gift from God. I said, here. And he's like, oh, he take it to your room. No, my padre. Next morning, I go to take him to school. He's in the bathroom crying, right? Reading, you okay?
My stomach.
Too much cake?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Hell yeah.
That's Gabriel Iglesias, chocolate cake. Makes me late. Are you a cake guy, Chad?
Huge cake guy. Love cookies, but cake is very close second.
I wish I had known that. I make what's called a chocolate infinity cookie.
That sounds terrible.
Which is, as it infers, it's endless amounts of Ghirardelli chocolate.
Yes.
Not Hershey's, Ghirardelli. That's actually one. I won a blue ribbon at the Deerfield Fair with them.
Did you really?
So, in fact, I just sold my first professional corporate account worth of cookies to somebody here just recently. So,
wow, congratulations.
Word is getting out. Yeah, so I'll have to remember that next time you come in.
Yeah, Infinity Chocolate Chip
Chocolate
cookie.
Infinity
chocolate
cookies
okay.
From the Chew Hampshire label.
That sounds good.
All right, now let's move on to our next cut. Actually, two of the next three are Australian performers. So you have to put on your Australian decoder, you know, hat so that you make sure you understand everything he's saying. But it's pretty funny, actually. If you go through the store, you always notice if you're buying a cake mix, they all have different ways of alluding to the fact that it's a very moist cake mix.
Yes.
I mean, there's every different way you can see it. And if you've been shopping for cake mixes, you know. Anyway, this is Paul Foote and his take on moist cakes.
Why is it that whenever we receive a slice of homemade cake from someone, that we always have to say it's moist? I mean, it's a horrendous business, isn't it? I mean, we can laugh about it now, but it's absolutely awful, isn't it? Because when you get a slice of cake, all you want to do really is just eat it quietly with your own thoughts. You know, which are generally that it's slightly on the dry side. But obviously you can't say that because the law of the world states that you must mention it's moist. And it's not just about mentioning it's moist, there's more to it than that. I mean, there are also time constraints linked to it. I mean, that's what makes it such a nightmare. I mean, I would say as soon as the cake comes out, you have got 5 to 6 seconds to mention the moistness. If you don't mention the moistness within that time window, then the atmosphere will deteriorate rapidly. In fact, you'll find that your host will actually probably crack after a while and say, is the cake all right? or is it a bit dry? Now, if you hear those words, you're basically in a serious emergency situation, and you have to say something immediately to restore the atmosphere. And I'd advise you to say something along the lines of the following words. Dry? Hardly. That's the last word I'd use to describe this cake. This cake is extremely moist. Yes, unbelievably so, yes. Yes, you've not gone easy on the moisture in this cake, Ursula. Yes, I reckon you must have been literally pouring the water into that mixing bowl to achieve such a final ratio of moisture to cake. I mean, to consider that this cake has been in a hot oven for over 30 minutes, and yet despite that sustained battering of heat, it has still retained all this moisture. I mean, it's an absolute miracle. I mean, honestly, Ursula, I think this is probably the dampest cake I've had all year.
His name is Paul Foote. And that's the moist cake routine.
So true. Moist cake. Yeah.
Think about it. All the things that you could talk about, this guy just did 2.5 minutes on a concept.
About the moisture of cake.
There you go.
No, it's so true, too. You think about all the things on the boxes, too.
Exactly. Do you bake at all, or probably not, huh?
I've baked once, and I don't bake anymore.
One and done, huh?
One and done, yeah. Yeah, that was it. My wife's a great baker, so that's,
is she?
Yeah, we count on her in the family, at the house, you know. She takes care of all that.
I do, I took a couple courses, actually, at the King Arthur Flour up in Vermont several years ago. So now the pressure is on. All right, what you bring into the family Christmas party? You know, 3 dozen Kaiser rolls or whatever? It's like, so now, okay, when I used to go out and buy the stuff, now I basically have to sit there and make it. And bread, most breads, the kind that I make, are two-day projects. You begin it the day before. It has to kind of gurgle and become very flavorful with the yeast and all that stuff. And then the next day where you're folding it and you're resting it and then you're baking it. So, but it's good.
Are you a cake eater, Mike? You like cake?
I absolutely adore cake.
Now, what's your cake?
I would say the more chocolate, the better.
Oh, you're a chocolate guy.
Yeah, I truly am.
And what do you typically like to drink with your cake?
Milk.
Yeah.
As cold as possible.
Cold, cold milk.
Yeah.
You don't put ice in your milk, do you?
I do not. Okay. I'm not that hardcore.
Yeah, that's I find that weird.
Yeah, but then there's people that put ice in their wine, too.
True.
And that's even weirder.
Right.
But there's another topic for another day on your next appearance.
I just feel like eating cake right now. Why is there not cake here?
Too. I got a half-eaten salad down there.
Not good enough. No, it's over. Not moist enough, Mike.
It's Chad Zingale is co-hosting with me today on The Pulse. We're in the middle of our Comedy Cold Cuts section, and we've got more about cake and comedy. But we're going to take another break on The Pulse. WTPL 107.7, back with more just ahead.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello, once again, it is Food for Thought, 1250 on The Pulse WTPL. A few moments ago, as part of our first comedy cut for Comedy Cold Cuts today, it was the chocolate cake made me late guy, Gabriel Iglesias, and I was trying to think of the show on NBC that was kind of a gateway to become a big star. It was a competition, and luckily Chad, my co-host today, did a little research during the break.
Yeah, Iglesias, he was the contestant on the fourth season of the reality show Last Comic Standing.
That's what it's called. Thank you.
And he actually made it to the final eight, but he ended up getting disqualified because he had smuggled in a BlackBerry and he was communicating with family and friends, which violated
Seriously?
The rules. Yeah, that's what it.
No way.
That's what I was just looking up.
Oh my God.
Pretty interesting.
What did he have a nickname or something? Or
he refers to himself. He says that he's not fat.
Because he's a large guy.
He's a larger man. Right. Uh-huh. He says he's not fat, but he's fluffy.
That's so perfect.
Yeah, he's very funny, very, very, very comical.
All right,
sure.
We need to move on here. Our next cold cut is actually a pretty quick one by somebody I never heard of, but it's very funny. This is Jessica Kirsten talking about what else? Cake, our theme.
So my family has to have a cake and a party for every occasion. Can you tell? So this past Flag Day, I went to the ice cream shop to pick up the cake, and it's like the guy knows me there. He's like, "Hello, Jessica. How was you since Canadian Thanksgiving?" How did you enjoy your Armed Forces Day cake? So the first one online is unbelievable. I really wish I could order a sundae like this. She's absolutely incredible. So assertive. It's amazing. She's like, why don't you give me a sundae with peanut, walnuts, cashews, pecan, almond, macadamia nut, and give me some cold sprinkles on top, make it look pretty.
And finally, this is another Down Under guy. He's from Australia. His name is Josh Earl. And this is a song. It's called Train Cake. Josh Earl on The Pulse.
I'm here to talk about one thing only, and that is the greatest book that's ever been published in this country. I'm, of course, talking about the Australian Women's Weekly Children's Birthday Cake Book. Do you remember this book, people? Yes. And this song is about the greatest cake in that book. It goes like this. This story takes place when I was 10 years old. Yeah, Mum passed me the book and I was told she could make any cake I choose and to take my time and have a peruse for core ADD or just my age. But I didn't get past the very front page. I chose the train cake. I chose the train cake. Woo-hoo! Choo-choo! I'd chosen the train, then Mum had to explain making that cake was gonna hurt her brain. But that's the one I chose, so that's the one she'd make. That's right, Mother Liquors, I'm getting that cake. I told all my friends at school, yeah, this was even cooler than the swimming pool. Take that, Nick Barton, your Reebok pumps. Take that, Kynan Mull, your motorised scooter. Big Gil, my nan's got one, she's not cool. So Mum went about getting all the bits and pieces. She got biscuits and popcorn and even pipe cleaners. But the night before the party, a disaster struck, cause Mum bent down but couldn't bend back up. My cake could not be made. My train had been delayed. She'd done her back in. I heard it cracking. She'd done her back in. I heard it cracking. And then Dad came in from the lounge and was like, what's all the noise in here? What's all the noise? I'm trying to watch Knots Landing. Can't hear a bloody thing they're saying. Stop crying. Stop your crying. He was talking to me, by the way, not Mum. Use your words, Josh. Josh, use your words. What's wrong? Your cake cut? I'll make your cake then. Of course I'm going to make a cake. Piece of cake? Where do you think that saying comes from? No, I don't need the recipe book. Put that away. I don't need that. That's a train cake, is it? Well, I know what a train looks like. Yeah, cake, train cake, done. Now get to bed, it's a school night. Get to bed. So next morning I awoke, but Mum was still bedridden, so I went looking for my cake, but it must have been hidden. And Dad came in the kitchen, said, you're gonna be late. You better get to school and stop looking for your cake. So I went to school in anticipation. Couldn't wait to see my dad's creation, yeah. Yes, I'm still getting the train cake, Nick. It's got 10 carriages, it's awesome. I've seen it. No, I don't want to watch you pump your shoes up. Big deal, you can be fat tongue. Mine does that when I eat coconut. No, not gonna be Lamington's the party. Just shut up, all right? And it's a long day at school when it's your birthday, but then the bell went. We all went back to my house for party time. I could hear my trainer coming. It was rolling around the bend, and with my eyes, I saw surprise on the faces of my friends. I turned around and I was amazed by what I saw, cause there was no train coming through the door. It was like a bad, bad dream. Dad was just holding a sponge with cream. He'd bought a store-bought cake, store-bought cake. He bought a store-bought cake, store-bought cake. He bought a cake from the store. Yeah, it wasn't, I saw. He bought a store-bought cake, store-bought cake. What do you call this, Dad? What do you know, I call it? I call this the worst birthday ever. You're not even my real dad. All right, you are my real dad. I take that back. I'm sorry. No, I'm allowed to be angry, Dad. I'm allowed to be angry. My teacher said it's just part of my coat of many colors.
All right, there you go. That's the train cake. We'll be back with more just ahead on Food for Thought.